the Chinese People's Liberation Army launched 4 medium-range ballistic missiles from mainland China into an area of the South China Sea.
It is the latest increase in tension between the United States and China. It's Friday, August 28th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. Also ahead, Hurricane Laura rips into the U.S. Gulf Coast. Vice President Mike Pence rips into his Democratic opposition at the Republican National Convention. The shooting of a black man by police in Wisconsin leads to protests, including by members of the NBA. It is all on today's VOA Asia. The Department of Defense is concerned about the People's Republic of China's recent decision to conduct military exercises, including the firing of ballistic missiles around the Paracel Islands. That is the official statement from the Department of Defense. Joining us now is VOA Pentagon correspondent Carla Babb. What can you tell us about this?
A U.S. defense official told me today that the Chinese People's Liberation Army launched 4 medium-range ballistic missiles from mainland China into an area of the South China Sea. This is the area, a disputed area between Hainan Island and the Paracel Islands. The missile launch coincided with recent Chinese military exercises. And now understand, these exercises, China unilaterally closes off large areas of the sea that are contested by other countries. Vietnam, for example, has protested these exercises. And so the official told me, frankly, he says that the recent Chinese military exercise and the launches speak volumes about how the PLA views areas protected as free for passage under international law, something that the U.S. says that it tries to protect over and over again with freedom of navigation operations that they conduct in the sea.
The Secretary of Defense had some things to say, probably after he found out about this, but before the rest of the world did. What did he have to say that might be applied to this missile firing?
Well, U.S. Secretary of Defense Mark Esper was in Hawaii today. That is the home of U.S. Indo-Pacific Command that oversees all of the military exercises in the Indo-Pacific region. And he warned today that the world's free and open system, which was forged in the wake of World War II, is under attack by China's rule-breaking behavior in the Indo-Pacific region. He said that this region is the epicenter of great power competition. Now, great power competition is not just the U.S. and China. It's also considered between the U.S. and Russia. But he says that this region is of great importance to everyone. And he vowed that the U.S. would continue to protect its allies and its interests and would not cede an inch, he said, to countries that threaten international freedoms. That was obviously a dig at China.
This seems to be an indication of growing tension between these two countries. Is retaliation, do you think, in the books here, or was this itself, the missile launch, in retaliation to a U-2 bomber the Chinese say was flying out of place?
It appears to be in retaliation for this so-called spy plane that was being flown by the United States. But let's just be clear here. This has gone on for years and years. The United States frequently calls out Beijing's claims. They frequently have disputes about this. And it's just gotten to a point now where the Trump administration has decided that it is going to take further action. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo on Wednesday announced that the U.S. had imposed sanctions on 24 Chinese companies and several people who had participated in building and militarizing these disputed artificial islands in the South China Sea. So China has been saying that they don't militarize these areas for the longest time. And the U.S. said, yes, you were. We can see you. We're looking at what you're doing on these coral reefs that you're adding sand to and you're building up. And so it's been a back and forth. And now the Trump administration has said we're going to do something more than freedom of navigation operations. And so they decided to impose these sanctions. And it was largely viewed as pushback against what the U.S. sees as an intensifying Chinese campaign to dominate the resource-rich sea and bully smaller nations in the region like Vietnam or like the Philippines, who has also recently called out for more U.S. presence in the region.
VOA's Pentagon correspondent, Carla Babb. These are among the top Asia stories you'll find right now on voanews.com. Hong Kong rejects an Irish journalist visa, stoking press freedom concerns. Both U.S. presidential candidates newly condemned China's treatment of its Uyghur Muslim minority. Pakistan is upbeat about prospects of Afghan peace talks. Pakistan's prime minister says Pakistan's future is tied to China. And Taiwan's president says the risk of accidental conflict is rising because of tension in the South China Sea and around Taiwan. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia and on the voanews.com website. Hurricane Laura has made landfall in southwestern Louisiana. Correspondent Mike Hempen reports.
The storm intensified rapidly before plowing into land overnight as a ferocious Category 4 hurricane, sweeping the Gulf Coast with ocean water that forecasters say could be 20 feet deep and unsurvivable. The National Hurricane Center says Laura came ashore near Cameron, a 400-person community about 30 miles east of the Texas border. Winds gusted above hurricane force to 128 miles an hour. Forecasters say stronger winds are possible that could rip apart buildings, level trees, and toss vehicles. Many people filled hotels and slept in cars since officials didn't want to open mass shelters and worsen the spread of COVID-19. In Cameron Parish, where Laura came ashore, officials say at least 150 people refused pleas to leave and planned to weather the storm in everything from elevated homes to recreational vehicles. The results could be deadly, since forecasters say the parish could be completely covered by ocean water. I'm Mike Hempen.
Floods are causing havoc around the world. In Afghanistan, officials say the death toll from 2 days of heavy flooding in the north and east has risen to at least 150, with scores more injured as rescue crews search for survivors beneath the mud and rubble of collapsed houses. Monsoon rains lashed Pakistan's southern port city of Karachi Thursday, displacing scores of people, flooding streets, and damaging homes. And a typhoon has barreled through the Korean Peninsula, damaging buildings, flooding roads, and toppling utility poles before weakening into a tropical storm. No casualties were immediately reported in either South or North Korea. Happening now in Asia, four members of a dwindling tribe in India's far-off Andaman Islands have tested positive for coronavirus, say officials. As the country of India reports 75,760 new infections, the highest single-day rise. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We continue on VOA Asia. U.S. Vice President Mike Pence accepted the nomination for a second term in office as Republicans met for a third day at a mostly virtual national convention. Michael Sullivan reports that in the midst of civil unrest in many American cities, Pence offered an upbeat message with warnings about his Democratic Party opponents.
Pence spoke from Fort McHenry in Baltimore, the symbolically important site of a celebrated 1814 battle.
So with gratitude for the confidence President Donald Trump has placed in me, the support of our Republican Party, and the grace of God, I humbly accept your nomination to run and serve as Vice President of the United States.
There were statements of patriotism and support for frontline officers facing sometimes violent protesters, angry over the deaths of several black Americans during encounters with police.
The violence is rampant. There's looting, chaos, destruction.
A theme repeated through the evening.
I'm talking about the heroes of our law enforcement and armed services. Leftists try to turn them into villains.
The targets of criticism, Democratic Party nominees Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. A veteran policeman says Trump is looking for solutions.
President Trump supports the creation of a national standard for training on de-escalation and communication to give officers more tools to resolve conflict without violence.
Biden has said he does not support demands for police defunding, but wants more funds for community policing and mental health workers.
I don't want to defund police departments. I think they need more help. They need more assistance. And we have to make it clear that this is about protecting neighborhoods, protecting people.
Military veterans who support Trump told their stories. Chinese dissident Chen Guangcheng accused Biden of appeasing the Chinese Communist Party. There was a Trump family member, as on previous evenings during the convention, this time Trump's daughter-in-law Lara, and Pence's wife, schoolteacher Karen Pence. Mike Pence said Republicans have a message of hope.
Joe Biden said that we were living through a season of darkness. But as President Trump said, where Joe Biden sees American darkness, we see American greatness.
Trump will take center stage on Thursday for the final night of the Republican convention. Mike O'Sullivan, VOA News, Los Angeles.
This is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. A court in New Zealand has sentenced a man who killed 51 Muslim worshippers at two mosques to life in prison without parole. Brenton Tarrant, a 29-year-old Australian, had admitted to carrying out the attacks in the city of Christchurch in March of 2019. A judge said his actions were inhuman. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
Brenton Tarrant is the first person in New Zealand's history to be jailed with no prospect of parole. He had admitted to the murder of 51 people, 40 counts of attempted murder and a terrorism offence. But Judge Cameron Mander said despite his guilty pleas, he appeared neither contrite nor ashamed. The sentencing hearing in Christchurch began Monday. For 3 days, Tarrant showed little emotion as almost 90 people, survivors of his atrocity and relatives of the victims, confronted him as they told the court the impact his crimes have had. New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern has refused to utter the perpetrator's name and says he deserves to die in prison.
My expectation is that our corrections service does their job and that is ultimately keeping this individual in prison for the rest of his natural days. And the other job that we have is making sure that he has no notoriety, that he has no platform, and that we have no cause to think about him, to see him, or to hear from him again.
The court was told Tarrant's planning was meticulous, and he attacked at a time when he knew the mosques would be busy at Friday prayers. He would later describe to the police non-European immigrants as invaders. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
You're listening to VOA Asia. Several months into the coronavirus pandemic, doctors are still trying to pinpoint why patients react differently to the virus. For Stephen Donaldson, who survived COVID-19, the battle is not over as he continues to struggle with some basic functions. VOA correspondent Mariama Diallo reports.
After 13 weeks in a Dallas hospital, Stephen Donaldson is finally going home where neighbors are waiting to welcome him.
It's very humbling. Technically, I shouldn't be here.
But his battle against COVID-19 isn't over.
The dexterity is not easy. None of it's been easy.
It's been harder for Donaldson to recover from COVID-19 because he had an organ transplant 2 years ago and was on immunosuppressant drugs when he contracted the virus. Doctors scaled back on those medicines just enough to allow Donaldson's body to fight back. Doctors learned more about the virus as they tried to save his life. Dr. Christina Goff is from the University of Texas Southwestern Medical Center.
The COVID-19 patients, it's a very unique thing, and I think part of that is because it's been such a learning experience for us. It's been such an emotional experience for physicians, just feeling so, so unsure of our decision making and having to learn so much so quickly.
Mariama Diallo, VOA News.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you for joining us. Thanks to our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, which includes Jim Stevenson, Keith Lane, and Doug Bernard. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Enjoy the day ahead.